Okay, hello and happy Friday. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Friday, May 26th, and numbers for the Fed's favorite inflation gauge are out. We'll see how markets reacted. It's official. Another Fed rate hike is definitely on the table. We'll look at the probabilities there. And all eyes on Washington. Is there a debt ceiling deal? Definitely in the spotlight today. And then semiconductors on the move again. We'll look at a few big, big movers. Plus, I'll share my wheel trades and positions as we head into the holiday weekend. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge, and I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. I'm running the show solo by myself today, but on most days, I'm joined by Rockwell Trading's founder, Marcus Heitkoder, and we love to talk about the markets. Even though I'm by myself, I promise that you're in good hands. You could say at Rockwell, we have a ton of trading experience. We know our stuff, and we're not afraid to tell it like it is. Pardon me. So if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, you've come to the right place. Now, before we dive in and show you our trades and how we're tackling these crazy markets, let's take a look at what's moving the markets today. Let me go ahead and bring up a chart of the S&P 500. What a day. And we see here that after a slightly higher start, the S&P 500 is up 1.2%, clearing that 4,200 level. So if we look back a little bit, 4,200 has been a little bit elusive, maybe a possible resistance level. When we look at where we were trading right at the beginning of February, we got up to 4,195, right? So just shy of the 4,200 mark. And you see here that for weeks, we were trading right around 4150, between 4050, 4150, trying to get up to 4200. We pierced it and then we retreated. Looks like at least this point we're closing, or at least we're trading around 4200. We'll see where the day ends up, but a strong update for the S&P. Now the Dow also higher, up 1%. So the Dow recently not really participating in the moves and the enthusiasm that we've seen in the NASDAQ and with tech stocks. Dow down a little bit, but then today coming back strong, up 1% like the overall market. The NASDAQ once again leading the way. We see that the NASDAQ, just an impressive move here since mid-March. The NASDAQ up another 1.7% today, trading at levels that we haven't seen since August of 2022. So tech, fueled by this enthusiasm and hype and excitement over AI technology and what that means for companies in the NASDAQ, definitely helping the NASDAQ move higher. We'll see. The 13,200 level seems like a possible resistance area, round number, also right near those highs that we saw in August of 2022. So a nice move today. Impressive move higher. Let's look at a weekly chart. See with weekly where we're at. And although we were down a little bit early this week, it looks like we came right back with the S&P up 0.2%. Possibly, if we stay at these levels, we'll close at highs that we haven't seen since August of 2022. And then there's the Dow. The Dow right now down a little bit. Almost 1%, so a little more than a little bit, but down 324 points for the week. Again, not participating in the rally so much compared to the S&P, also the NASDAQ. Right now, looking at a weekly chart, it looks like traders are happy to be long tech going into the weekend, up 2% for the week. And looks like if things stay where they are right now, best close since August of 2022 as well. So some impressive moves. What's this all about? Well, let's go ahead and go back to the S&P 500. Let's look at a five-minute chart here. And looking at a five-minute chart, we see that there was a higher start today and a rally from the beginning. maybe calming down a little bit right around 4,200, but just up, up and away. If we look at the economic calendar today, there were some reports here. Let's go ahead and take a look at 5:30 a.m. on the West Coast, 8:30 Eastern time. We had core PCE price index up a little bit. So this was up 0.3% with the last reading. The expectation or forecast was 0.3%, up a tick at 0.4%. So with this being the Fed's favorite inflation gauge, it's just showing that prices right now, inflation is still a little bit stubborn. Part of that comes from a strong job market and economy. If we look at preliminary GDP yesterday, we see that preliminary GDP came in higher than expected, 1.3% versus the 1.1% forecast. So the economy grew, driven by higher than expected growth in consumer spending. That's where wages come into play and why the Fed wants wages to come down a little bit. So the Fed is in a tight spot right now because we have seen peak inflation and things have come down. But right now, it does look like the economy is strong and there's some resilience here when it comes to inflation. And this actually shows in the probabilities that we see here with the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. So this is based on Fed funds futures. And just last week, the probability of a quarter point rate hike was 17%. So it was pretty much a done deal with plenty of time before the next meeting. We see here that the next meeting is in 19 days. So we have about 3 weeks there. But yeah, last week, traders thought, you know what? No rate hike. The Fed's pausing and we're going to see where we go from there. But right now, a 60% chance that the Fed will raise a quarter point based on this new data. We'll see what happens, but this is definitely a shift. We could look at the probabilities here and we see that although the probabilities show a hike at the June meeting, now we're seeing staying the same, so pausing in July, in September, and then maybe coming back a quarter point in November, holding in December. But that you coming back in November now would be putting us right where we're at right now if the Fed raises rates in 19 days. So interesting shift. You would think that this would be bad news for the market, but the market is experiencing some enthusiasm because it does seem like in Washington, the politicians are close to a potential deal. So they were negotiating last night. It seems like there's a possible agreement or getting close to an agreement that would raise the limit on the amount of money the government can borrow for 2 years in exchange for some spending cuts. And again, the deadline here is June 1st. That's when the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said that this is our doomsday scenario where the Fed or the government cannot pay their bills and obligations. That's subject to change, but that is what investors have been looking at as a deadline and hoping that politicians can come to an agreement. That would be a good thing for the overall market. And then we also have this tech craze based on AI technology and companies benefiting from this. Let's take a look at what's on the move. And we got to look at NVIDIA. So NVIDIA, if we go to a daily chart here, up, it's pulled back a little bit. It was up higher, but now up 0.7%. So staying at these levels after yesterday's huge, huge gains, as you might expect at this point, so probably no surprise, but it's the best performer for the year in the S&P 500 right now, up just shy of 1% after yesterday's just massive rally, ending the day up 24.4% higher. Now, we are seeing some movement that's continuing in semis. We could look at AMD up another 4%, trading above 125. AMD has not traded this high since looks like December of 2021. So a real impressive week for AMD. AMD up, let's see, 18.6% for the week. What a run. But then there was another stock pretending it was NVIDIA, and this was MRVL. Marvel Technology reported earnings, and we could see here that they reported better than expected earnings, also better than expected revenue. Now, Marvel, they also said that they expect revenue growth to accelerate in the second half of the fiscal year. So investors liking that, up 26%, similar to the move that we had in NVIDIA yesterday. That puts Marvel back at levels not seen since early 2022, so about a year ago. So quite some moves here. Two more that we could take a look at. GPS Gap up 11%, a nice move higher there. Now, mixed results. They had better than expected earnings, reporting a small increase profit of penny per share versus the expected loss. They didn't have the revenue that investors were expecting. The positive takeaway here, though, was that there were big improvements to their margins. The company said that this was helped out by reduced promotions and also lower air freight expenses. So closing those margins a little bit, or improving them, helping with investors getting excited about this one, up 11%. Now, not to end it on a down note, but Ulta, no concealer is going to help this move out. Down 11%. They reported weaker than expected earnings. Slightly in line, but I believe that there were some... I have different information here. I thought they reported worse than expected, but it looks like they're showing in TradingView that it was better. Either way, doesn't really matter. Ulta down at levels that we haven't seen since November of last year. So investors not liking those numbers for Ulta. Now, let's see this. Let's take a look at my open positions here. And right now, we could bring up AMD. AMD, I sold the 103 call based on the moves that we saw here last week. I was able to roll the call, collect some really nice premium on that roll. And at this point, unless there's some catastrophic drop in AMD where it just gets pummeled the rest of the day, I will have my shares called away. So this will be a nice profitable trade for me. Yeah, I missed some of this upside, but with the wheel, I'm getting my ice cream every day. And I'm okay letting this one get called away. It will free up a position for me. So now I could deploy that buying power in hopefully a more effective way, right? Generate more income, generate more premium for a stock that's a little more sideways and conducive to wheel-like opportunities. PNC. I am still holding PNC down just a little bit today. I really want to see that it holds up down at these levels. We did see some support back around 111, 112 on this move lower mid-May. But I really want to see it hold up here. I do think that at this point, no news is good news. It's just going to take a little more time for these regionals to get back up. I think that these highs here are reasonable, and I would love to be selling calls at 136, my cost basis for this one with another pop. But right now, sitting, nothing for me to do and I'm holding this and looking for opportunities should they come my way. Suncor is a trade that I put on early this week. This is for next Friday's expiration. I decided to sell the 2750 strike. We see here that it's actually still available. So the 2750 strike, the premium that you could get is 21 cents for the June 2nd expiration. There's 4% downside protection. So basically, if it gets down to 2750 and you get assigned, you're buying shares at a 4% discount from where it's trading right now. Right. Not only that, but you kind of get paid a dividend up front without having to own the shares of the stock. Right. Because the dividend on this one, 39 cents, so a little bit less. But this is the way. This is how we trade the wheel. Collect that premium up front. If you get assigned, great. Now you own shares and you can sell calls, get some premium on the call side, work that for a while until it's time to let it go. Now, this one working out real nice. One thing that I wanted to point out here, let's go to the calculator and let's actually look at, let me slide over. I have a bunch of symbols. One thing that we've done here, especially if you're a PowerX owner, is we're showing the annualized premium, or sorry, the premium that's needed each day in order to get that 30% annualized credit. So for us, that 30% annualized on the credit, whether we're selling puts or selling calls, is the line in the sand for us. That's what we're after. That's what we're looking to achieve. So we're 30% plus. It could definitely be better. There's no problem there. But we see here that for Friday, the premium that we need for 30% annualized is 18 cents. So based on the bid price, you could get 20, maybe better at this point, get some nice premium there if you were to like this trade. Now, with the holiday, Monday being a holiday, markets are closed. So you see here that you actually are in a much better position getting a little premium right now. This shouldn't affect your trading decisions to a point where you're taking bad trades to get that extra premium. But if I were to look at this on Tuesday and look to get 30% annualized, it would be just 9 cents, right? For a couple of days based on the stock price and the premium, this is 30%, but I get double that today. That's why I was looking at an opportunity with Marcus to trade SU and with the holiday weekend, try to get a little more of that decay. So this to me is a nice opportunity. I'm happy to own shares of Suncor. And I think that there's still some decent premium right now with where we're trading. Marcus, just for full disclosure here, Marcus decided to sell the 28. So he got a little more premium on that one there. You see right now it's 36 cents for the 28 versus 20 cents for the 2750. So the return there, 58%, really nice on that. I just wanted a little more protection to the downside in case we see a drift lower between now and next Friday. So that's my Suncor position. Now, SYY up 71% on this trade right now. And I sold the 70 put expiring today. Marcus also sold the 70 put expiring today. And right now we're trading at $70.63. So yesterday we did dip down just a couple of pennies below 70. If we get assigned, great. This is a lower volatility play. I mean, just look at this chart, right? It's just back and forth, up and down, sideways. And so just a beautiful chart. The times where it did dip and break through short-term support, it snapped right back and rallied. So I think this is a great consideration for the wheel strategy. It does have a 2.8% dividend yield. PE ratio is decent, below 25 at 2360. Profitable company, and we'll see where it ends up. If at this point I'm either going to get assigned and take ownership of shares, if we see that 70 put go in the money and the stock go below 70. Otherwise, the trade will expire worthless. And then come Tuesday, I will have two open positions looking for more, looking for more. So these are the positions I'm in. Looking forward to the holiday weekend. I hope that you have some fun plans and that you're going to make the most of it. I saw that it's expected that 42 million people are expected to travel more than 50 miles from their home this weekend. And this is up from last year. So airlines could be a little bit messy. And with all of the travel issues with flights around the holidays, hopefully they have those glitches worked out and your travel is safe and easy. One last thing that I thought was kind of cool. I saw this from the Wall Street Journal. On this day in 1896, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was first published. The index initially consisted of 12 industrial giants, including American Sugar and National Lead. The index value that day was 40.94. So quite a change compared to the 33,000 that we're at today. And American Sugar is no longer a part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So I'll leave it at that. I hope you enjoyed the video. If you did, please give it a like. And if you're new to this channel, definitely subscribe so you can be notified for future videos. No video on Monday with the markets being closed. And we'll see you on Tuesday, hopefully with some more nice opportunities to trade and hopefully some great discussion around the markets and what we do here at Rockwell Trading. Until then, happy trading, everybody.